Let's begin our shiur this evening at the very beginning of the Sidra, in fact with the first letter. Ve'eile ha-mishpotim asher tosim lifneihem. Says Rashi, kol mokom she'ne'emar eile, whenever a verse begins with the word eile, posales horishonim, or posales horishonim, it comes to indicate that there is a parting of the way between what went before and what is going to be addressed now. But the Eile, if we begin with the Eile and these, Moshif al-Horishonim, it comes to tell you that what is going to be presented now has something in common with what went before. And therefore, in our context, the Eile implying that there is something in common between what is going to be mentioned now and what is mentioned in the previous Sidra, is to tell you, Ma Horishonim Misinai Af Elu Misinai. That in the same way as the Aseret HaDibros, which have been mentioned in Parshat Yisro, were irrefutably mentioned on Sinai, and that is their origin, you should be equally assured, and it is being confirmed for you in the word Ve'ele, that all that is to follow in this parsha is equally Misinai. Now, of course, we take this one stage further. Why would we need to be told that these Mishpotim, which we are going to discuss in this parsha, are in fact equally Misinai? And that question is addressed by the Trumas Hadeshin, in a small sefer of his comments on Rashi, called Be'urei Mahariyot, because he is, of course, Rabbi Yisrael Iserlin, one of the greats of the halachists, etc. Ve'eile ha-mishpotim, says Rashi, Ma'rishonim mi-sinai, af-elu mi-sinai. Says the Trumas Hadeshin as follows. Af al gav de parsha zu semucha mamish le parshas matan Torah Misinai, even though, from a textual point of view, Mishpotim follows directly on the entire episode of Matan Torah, and therefore there would seem to be very little reason for us to be informed that Mishpotim is equally Misinai, nevertheless, itzruch kra lirnoz lanu, the Torah, nevertheless, with this letter Vav, needs to allude to us the mitzvos, that all the mitzvos, shenimtzos beparsha hazos, that are to be found in this parsha, mi Sinai, mi pi hagevura bo'u. They are all given to us from Sinai, and given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Sinai. Why do we need to be told that, and that there should be no doubt in our minds? He says simply, Lefi, the reason is, Sherov Eilu HaMitzvos. The majority of the commandments that you will find in the earlier part of Mishpotim, HaSeichel Mechayev Osam. Logic demands that we perform that type of commandment, to give money to the poor, to assist, to help, to aid. Yose Mishaar Mitzvos Elokios. More than the Seichel is Mechayev, that we should keep Shabbos, that there are certain meats of certain animals that we cannot eat, that we cannot have wool and linen, etc. And these mitzvos, ben odom lachaveiro, are there in order to improve the lot of the world, whom in hogo nitzavu. And we might have thought that these are mitzvos, which are in fact, hoyisi omer, moshe midas atzmosi deiro sam. I might have thought that these laws, which are contained in the earlier part of Parshas Mishpotim, which are in fact devoted almost exclusively to Ben Adam Lachaveiro, between man and man, which seem to be part of an ethical and moral society, I might have thought that whereas the so-called religious laws come from God, the ethical and moral exhortations which are contained in Parshas Mishpotim, most probably they were authored by Moshe Rabbeinu, because after all, they are laws which we can understand logically. We understand that if you come upon someone who is having a problem loading his donkey, so you should help him. Or if you find an article which was lost, you should do your best to see that it gets sent back to its proper owner. So I might have thought that these are laws, those laws of Mishpatim, which were not authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but which were authored by Moshe Rabbeinu, Upireshtik Dukehem Lefi Seder Minahago Olam. And that Moshe Rabbeinu, in fact, is giving us an outline of mitzvot which he himself has composed and designed for HaKosu. For that reason, the Torah came v'ramal, and is alluding by that word letter vav, shekulam mipi hagevura misinai nitzavu, that whether they are ben adam lachaveiro or ben adam lamokom, every single law that you find in the Torah, every single law that you find in Parshat Mishpatim, all have been given equally misinai. Again, in brief, we might have been under the assumption that whereas mitzvos ben adam lamokom, they can only have been authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But mitzvos ben adam lachaveiro, which in a superficial way, the laws of the Torah as contained in Parshas Mishpatim share with so many other codes and so many other societies, that we might have thought that in actual fact, these are laws which came down to us not from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, but maybe designed by Moshe Rabbeinu, great man that he was. So therefore we have to be told, no, ve'elah ha-mishpotim, ma'horishonim mi-sinai, af'elu mi-sinai, that all are equally mi-sinai. That is one approach to this particular Rashi. There is another approach that I wanted to mention to you, and that is an approach which is alluded to by the Pachad Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok Kutner Zatzal. And he says as follows, and this is a theme which appears in many writings. I haven't put the Pachad Yitzchok in the volume, it's only a short item I wanted to mention. There's the Pachad Yitzchok. Unfortunately, there is a confusion in the minds of certain people. And it is the following. If you ask them, what would I consider a religious duty? They would answer, praying, fasting. But if you ask them, would you consider it to be a religious duty to give assistance to the poor? No, no, that's not religion. They have a distorted view that Ben Adam LaMokom is religion and Ben Adam LaChaveiro is Mehechet Hesed. No. So they consider that Ben Adam LaChaveiro is somehow on a lesser madrega than Ben Adam LaMokom. Ben Adam LaMokom sounds to be religious. You fast, you pray, these type of activities. But if you ask somebody whether the idea of giving somebody back something that he has lost, is that a religious duty? They have a confusion in their minds. They don't really see it as being on the same level. As Rabbi Yisrael Salanter once said, when they asked him, he was a sick man and he couldn't supervise the baking of the matzahs. Should mention that his yahrzeit always falls in Parshas Mishpatim, incidentally. Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Speak about in a moment. So they asked him, when the Talmidim wanted to go to supervise the baking of the matzahs on Erev Pesach, so they asked him, what are his hidurim? What are the religious minutiae that he is careful about in the baking of the matzahs? And he responded as follows, that the woman who cleans the floor in between each baking is a widow. Be careful how you speak to her. That's what I am very particular about when I supervise the baking of the matzahs. Do you see what's happening here? He's telling you that Ben Adam LaChaveiro is exactly the same as Ben Adam LaMokom. And that is what Rashi is saying. Ma Harishonim Misinai, in the same way as Sinai, the origin of all religious practice that we have, is associated with Aseres Hadibros. You should know, Af Elo Misinai, similarly, Ben Adam LaChaveiro, how you treat an Eved Ivri, how you treat a girl who is sold to you as an Omo Hivriya, these are all of similar status. They are all equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Pachad Yitzchok makes this comment in regard to an episode at the end of the Parsha. If I could ask you now to turn to Perek Chof Dalet, פוסק וו, something very exquisite. So sacrifices are offered, and this is part of the ritual of the enactment of the bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Bnei Yisrael, which took place a day before the giving of the Torah. The bris Torah, the contract between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael, that they accepted to be bound by the laws of the Torah, that took place on the 5th of Sivan. The 6th of Sivan was Matan Torah, says the Vilna Gaon, and that is the pshat in the bracha. Asher b'charvanu mikol ha'amim refers to the bris Torah, the moment when God chose us to be subjected and governed by his Torah. That's the first part of the nusach ha'bracha on the 5th of Sivan. The nos and lona with Torah fell is the 6th of Sivan. Now part of the bris, as you know, was the reading out of the Sefer HaBris and the response of Na'aseh v'nishma. We look. However, the pasuk reads, "Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam." So after sacrificing, there was blood from the animals. So Moshe Rabbeinu took chatzi hadam, vayosem bo agonot, and he put it into basins, etc. Vachatzi hadam zolak al hamizbeach. Now says Rashi on Vayikach Moshe chatzi hadam. So I would have thought he took a half of the blood. All right, I mean to say, who had a scale? Who had a jar to make sure that it was absolutely accurate? So I would have thought a half of the blood means more or less, give or take. Oh no, Rashi says, no sir. Michalokel, who divided it into 50-50? After all, chatzi hadom means absolutely half. Not one drop more and not one drop less, says Rashi, malach bo v'chalokel. An angel came and divided it. So it seems it wasn't a half approximate. It was a half exact. So Rav Yitzchak Kutner says, a half exact, what's this all about? It has to be mamish, not a drop more and not a drop less. Well, let's see what happens to the two halves of the blood. Is v'chatzi adom zolak al hamizbeach, half of the blood is sprinkled on the altar. Okay, pasuk ches, v'yikach Moshe es adom, and Moshe Rabbeinu takes the remaining half, v'yizrok al ha'om, and he throws it towards the people. This is all part of bris Torah. Says Rav Yitzchak Kutner, what's going on here? A half of the blood on the altar, a half of the blood towards the people, and it's got to be mamish chatzi, a half, no more, no less. Says Rav Yitzchak Kutner, very simple. The half, to split the blood into two, is to tell you that there are two types of mitzvot in the Torah. There are mitzvot which are symbolized by the half of the blood which is thrown on the mizbeach, which represents benadam lamokom. And there is another half to Torah, which is benadam lechaveira, which is symbolized by the blood which is thrown towards the people. And lest you think that one half of the Torah is any more important and any more precious than the other, so a malach had to come and make sure that the blood was divided exactly down the middle, so that nobody should ever come and say that there was more blood poured on the Mizbeach than was poured out towards the people, and that people should want to distort Yiddishkeit and say that Ben Adam Lamukum is more important than Ben Adam Lachadirah. So that is why it had to be mamish a half, to the extent that a malach had to come and make sure it was exact. And the half that was thrown on the Mizbeach is Ben Adam Lamokom. The half that was thrown towards the people is Ben Adam Lachavir. Let me take you back to Parshas Yisro, to Perek Chof Pasuk Aleph. Says the Pasuk, Vayidaber Elokim Eis Kol Hadavorim Ho'ele Lemor. The introductory phrase, the introductory verse to the Aseret Hadibros. On the words, Eis Kol Hadavorim Ho'ele, says Rashi, Melameid she'omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Aseres HaDibros B'Dibur Echod Ma'ashe'i Efshar Li'odom Lo Makim. The words Eis Kol Hadavorim Ho'ele, I'm not going to go into how Rashi knows it from here, but Rashi says these words come to inform us that the Aseres HaDibros were said B'Dibur Echod. Now what does B'Dibur Echod mean? Says the Be'er Yitzchok, Rav Yitzchok Hurwitz on Rashi, B'Dibur Echod means that if there were 10 voices emanating from Hashomayim, all beginning at the same time, like 10 people starting to speak at the same time, One voice began, Anochi. Another voice began, Lo Yihi Elecha. Another voice will say, Lo Sisa. Another voice will be Zachor. Another voice, Kabej. And every single voice beginning at the same time. That is what Rashi means, B'Shem Chazal, that the Aseret HaDibros were said B'Dibur Echot. And then, as Rashi goes on to say, Shechazal U'Pidesh Al Kol Dibur V'Dibur B'Fenei Atzmo. They were said in this confusion, with 10 voices starting at the same time, and then when that was over, then the voices repeated every one of the Aseret HaDibros in the order in which we have them. Asks the Be'er Yitzchok, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to say everyone on its own, then why was there a necessity to give us the Aseret HaDibros in this form, where one voice was beginning with one, the other voice contemporaneously was saying 2, 3, 4, up to 10. Says the Be'er Yitzchok so magnificently, and you see how beautifully it fits into what we are talking about. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu started saying each dibur one after the other, I might have concluded that the 10 commandments are written in order of importance, and that Zochoras Yom HaShabbos is more important than Kabbalah Sovicho. That's why Shabbos is 4 and Kabbalah Sovicho is 5. And I might have thought that Zochoras Yom HaShabbos is more important than Lo Tirtzach and Lo Tinoch and Lo Tignov, because Shabbos is 4 and the others are 7, 8, and 9. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu deliberately made every dibur come out at the same time, saying to you, yes, I'll have to give them in a certain order. But never, never think that because they are written in a certain order, that that indicates that they are written in order of importance. There has to be an order. There has to be a 1 and a 2 and a 3. But you have to know that when it comes to selecting what is the most important, chas v'sholom, that we should say that the luchos on one side contain commandments which are more important than the commandments on the other side. And that is why Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Aseret HaDibros in 2 forms. One with 10 voices speaking at the same time, identifying each mitzvah, whether it's Ben Adam L'Amakom or Ben Adam L'Chazero, as being of equal importance, but also giving them in one after the other, because otherwise we would not have been able to understand what was being said. So in the first way that they were given, a point was made. The second day, time that they were given, they actually understood what it was that they were being commanded. So here we have a gain between the Pachad Yitzchok and between the Be'er Yitzchok and between the first Rashi and Mishpatim. We have the biggest Musar Haskel, that Ben Adam L'Chaveru should never be downgraded as being of secondary importance in our Torah. Extremely important. And that is why Rav Yitzchok Kutner Zatzal says that it is not coincidental that the Yotzeit of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter Zatzal occurs in the week of Parshas Mishpatim, because if there was anyone in past centuries who worked his entire lifetime to restore Ben Adam L'Chaveru to its rightful place, it was Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. Okay. We open our Mishpatim with what appears to us nowadays to be a halacha which belongs to ancient days. Ki sikne eved ivri. If you will buy a Hebrew slave. And what I want to draw your attention to now, because you know the opening section is devoted to eved ivri, what I want to draw your attention to is one of the most, the most gorgeous observations in regards to this particular mitzvah appearing as it does at the beginning of our Siddur. And it's found in the a sefer that I haven't quoted before, the Oznaim LaTorah. The Oznaim LaTorah is a Peirush on the Torah written by a Rav who passed away about 20, 25 years ago, Reb Zalman Sorotkin Zatzal, who is known as the Lutzkerov. And he was the son-in-law of Rav Lazer Gordon Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiv of Tells, who, as we have explained before, is buried in Edmonton. But that's a different parsha. So, Rav Zalman Sorotskin, he's the author of Oznaim LaTorah, Perush on the Haggadah, on Droshos, he was a Darshan the Chesed Elyon. And he writes as follows, and follow carefully and see the richness of Torah. Says Rav Zalman, HaTorah Maschilo Es Ma'areches HaMishpotim B'mitzvah Tevedivri. The Torah begins a listing of civil laws, which is what they are, with the law concerning the Hebrew slave. Uma Zahiro Osana, and warns us, Lihisyaches, to relate to him, Bechesed Uvrachanim, with kindness, with compassion, El Hoevet Hoach, to our brother who is a slave. Bishalo Lahavido Beforech, not to make him work too hard. Lahachilo Lahashto, so to give him to eat, to give him to drink, Imoch. From which the rabbis darshan so many things, he has to be on the same level with you, to the extent if there's only one cushion, you've got to give it to him. Umagbilo is the man of Odoso, and it circumscribes the times that he is to work for you and times when you're not allowed to have him work. Milich Ure, says the Reb Zalman. Apparently, hoyo ra'ui lahashir es dine ho'avodim lesof kol adinim v'hamitzvos. I would have thought that the laws of how I should treat an Eved Ivri should have been left to the very end of all these civil laws. Why? Ki halo kol ho'adonim ha'chadoshim o'eile. Who are you speaking to? Who are these masters who may one day own, quote unquote, a Hebrew slave? Who are they? Achzerak yosu mi beisu avodim ha'godu v'hanoro. 7 weeks ago, they themselves were slaves. From Pesach to Shavuot, right? The al oramu b'saram, and in their own skin and on their own flesh, hirgishu heitev, they have felt well, es hatam, the taste, shel chaye yavdus v'shivud, of slavery and enslavement. Ubevadaya, there is no doubt in my mind, hiskomamu kol hazman, as long as they were slaves in Egypt, they revolted, the nafshom pinima, in their innermost soul, neged hamishtar, against that regime, hamidakeva hamishabed hazeh, which enslaves and oppresses. Umochu neged mishpotim koela. And there is no doubt in our minds that when they were slaves, they rebelled against such injustice that made them slaves and other people masters. The eichse yala ladas. So how is it possibly contemplated? Shekasher yishtachrelu, that when these slaves are released, alulu mehem lehayofeich liadonim koshim, that they are then going to become severe masters? Medakim umeshabdim esacheim uvesoram, to enslave and to oppress their own flesh and blood, ulehisyaches aleihem ki el avodim, and to approach these Hebrew brothers of theirs as they would an ordinary slave? They need to be told. The last people in the world who need to be told. They feel the lashes on their back still. They still have the marks. They still have the broken limbs. They need to be told you've got to be nice and kind. So what's the answer? Ulam ha-Torah yorodo lesof data utechuno sov shelaha adam. The Torah is written by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And our Kodesh Baruch Hu understands the psyche of the individual. The Torah has gone down deep into the mind and soul and heart of the individual. Ki chol yetzer machshavos libo rak ra kol hayom. Man, unfortunately, is not all good. Man has got qualities which are bad. Ve'ho'evet shel hayom, and the slave of today, shekoval moro halashibud, who complains bitterly about his enslavement, the Diber Gavoa, and speaks in lofty terms, al shivyon, on equality, the al achvos ho'amim, and on the brotherhood of peoples, al tzedek v'yosher, and concerning righteousness and rectitude. Mesugol dafka lehayofeich, that very person, is the one most likely to be transformed, the afilu lamochra shichruro, even the day after he is released, le'odol oritz umedakeh, to the cruelest of masters. Habos, who despises, umis nakir, and treats as alien, lachol hoidiyaliyim, to all the ideals, shenilchan avuram esmol, that he fought for so vigorously yesterday when he was asleep. Ushlomo hamelech omar. And King Solomon, the wisest of all kings, said, Tachas sholosh rogzo ores. The world shudders when three things happen. And the one that concerns us, says Reb Zalman, is Tachas eved ki yimloch. When a slave becomes a king. The divrei hayomim shel ha'amim hashonim melamdim osanu. And the histories of the various peoples teach us. And come on the chonosumavusososososoele. How valid are these fears expressed by King Solomon? Shechoshoshotolo, which the Torah itself is afraid of. Uveyoneinu anu roim. And in our own days we can see, 20th century, eich misyachsim ho'avodim. How those people who were once slaves, hapoalim hamadu koim, oppressed workers, shetotsu es hashilto liyideihem, who seize power into their own hands. How do they relate, liyavdeihem hachadoshim, to those who are now their slaves? Ubozim lechol divrei hashivyon hatzedek v'hayosher, and reject all thoughts of equality, righteousness, and respectability, shahayom meleim b'fiyoseim, which fill their mouths, lefenei alosam lemelucha, before they became powerful. Vilochein, therefore, his hero atorah b'chol achomer hazeh, the Torah has told us in the most severe terms, and has placed it first on our agenda, v'hemidos hamitzvah hazos lishono, that's something. You might have thought they are the last people who need to be told how to relate to an oppressed individual. Don't you remember yourself how difficult it was? Etc., etc., and all the Pirushim. Oh no. Memories are short. And the memory of the slave who is transformed into power, his memory is the shortest of all, and not only does he not become the kindest ruler, he can become the cruelest ruler, and says Reb Zalman, have a look at what used to be called the Soviet Union. That's what the man is talking about with Hapoalim Hamadukoyim. They defeated the Tsar, and we thought that this is going to be an age of everything, equality, etc., and in the end, what used to be the Tsar became Stalin, the Hameven Yovin, and the suffering that went on, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his infinite mercy brought about its disintegration. And even now, the slaves of yesteryear who are elevated to power, mi yodea. Okay. So we leave it at that particular point at this moment. What I want to draw your attention to now is one particular aspect of the laws of Eved Ivri which has always fascinated me. I have to say I don't speak about it under the chuppah, but nevertheless you'll understand why I made those comments. Okay. In the kapo yogo, the gapo yese. In these recessional times, how true. In the gapo yogo, the gapo yese. If you go in with nothing, you go out with nothing. Or as they say, if you don't speculate, etc. Okay, fine. Now, so here is this Eved Ivri. Says Rashi, the gapo yese. Extraordinary din. Magid. It comes to teach us she'im lo hoyo nosui mitechila, that if he was not married to a Jewish wife when he became sold as a slave, ein rabo mose lo shivcho kenanis, then his master cannot give him a Canaanite slave, maidservant, leholid mimeno avodim, so that she can bear children who of course follow in status the mother, ha'isha vilodeha, and therefore the master will have more slaves. He can give a slave girl to his Eved Ivri, only provided the Eved Ivri is already married to a Jewish woman. What is the philosophy? What is the rationale behind this particular law? Says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, very, very interesting. As I say, I don't say it under the chuppah, but listen to what it is he has to say. If a man, a Jewish man, is married to a Jewish woman, and they have a Jewish marriage, then he realizes that marriage and mating are two different concepts. Marriage is an enriched lifestyle. It has a spiritual dimension. Soul speaks to soul. That's marriage. Mating is esem meyachsomai uvosor mibesori, bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. If he is married to a Jewish woman and knows what marriage is all about in the Jewish sense of the word, he will not be tempted by any physical relationship that he has with a Shifcha Canaanis to remain eternally in the service of his master, and will not be tempted in the main to say, O haptias Adoni es ishti v'yespon. But if he has never had a Jewish marriage, and if he has this physical relationship with a Shifcha Canaanis, he may make the eternal blunder that all there is to marriage is mating. And therefore he may decide that if this is all there is, let me not stay here where I enjoy this relationship, and therefore I am not interested in going free. So therefore, says Rav Moshe, when even though nothing in life can be guaranteed, because even in the context where this man already has a slave girl as a mate, it is still shayach that he might still say, oh, but what you can be sure of, says Rav Moshe, explaining the Rashi, is that if we are dealing with a Eved Ivri who has never known what marriage is, and is confronted with this physical relationship with a slave girl, he is very likely to assume that that is all there ever is to marriage, and make appropriate decisions on that basis. And that is the tragedy today. Many children don't see Jewish marriages, and yet their parents fervently hope that when they opt for a partner in life, they will opt for a Jewish marriage as opposed to mating. And they don't realize that if you've never had the taste of Jewish marriage, either as a partner or as a recipient, a member of the household, then you are entitled, quote-unquote, to conclude that all there is to marriage is mating. And that is why we have the degeneracy that we have, not only outside, but amongst our own people. There was a time we could say with pride, below someone who kemishpachoso adama. The goyim have their own family lives, quote unquote, but below someone who kemishpachoso adama. You have not made us like them. We have different family morals. We have different family codes. That was at a time when the Olenu was composed. And it was composed by a long time ago, actually, the time of Joshua. But I got to tell you, unfortunately, times have changed somewhat. And we can't say with the same straight face, below someone who kemishpachoso adama, the hameven yobin. Let us move on. As you know, a lot of our sidra is devoted to oxen goring other oxen, and oxen goring people, and various other laws which apply. Let me tell you a little story. After all, once in a while we have to amaisa. A lady was feeding the baby herself. She was breastfeeding the baby. And she had a problem. She lived in Dvinsk. That's not the problem. She lived in Dvinsk. After all, the Rogachova lived there, the Meshechachva lived there. Can't be a problem. But the problem was the baby refused to take her milk on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's an Ayah Chumra. Refused to take her milk Shabbos and Yom Tov. It was a bit of a problem because there were poor people, and even if they had half cream or full cream, she wouldn't be able to afford. And Sukkot was on the way. 7 days, 9 days, however you know. It's a long time to be without food. She was very upset. So she went to the Rogachova Gaon. The Rogachova Gaon says, did you go to anybody before you came to me? And she said, yes. I went to Reb Meir Simcha, the Meir Chochma. Did Reb Meir Simcha give you an answer? No. Meir Simcha didn't give you an answer? I can't believe it. He doesn't know the Yerushalmi? He doesn't know the Yerushalmi either, whatever it is. He says, no. There's an Ogre Chover, Sparanara Yerushalmi, and this will explain to you your problem. An ox that gores the first or the second time is known as a tam. Right? Stop, man. Pays only half damages. Kasi nezik. An ox that has gored three times goes into a new category, muad. And because it's a new category, muad, so the owner of the ox has to pay full damages. Says the Mishnah in Bava Kamma, it is possible that an animal can be a muad for Shabbos and a tam during the week. Believe it? That the animal has been known to gore three times, but all of it was on Shabbos. So if he'll ever gore again on a Shabbos, he'll have to pay the whole lot. But whereas the rest of the week is concerned, he only pays half because he's only a tam. After Yerushalmi, how is it shayach that an animal can be a muad for Shabbos and a tam for the weekdays? Answers the Yerushalmi. Because on Shabbos, the animal sees people dressed in very colorful clothes and becomes excited and disoriented. And therefore, this happens to him only on Shabbos. But on the weekdays, we wear drab clothes, so the shayach that the animal will not be excited on those days. And it's the change of clothes from drab to colorful which excites the animal and changes his status from a tam into a muad. Says the Rav Shavah, that's the problem you've got. Your child is on a very, very basic level of intelligence and is operating by instinct. It gets put off by the colorful garments that you wear l'kavod Shabbos. The only way your child is going to take your milk is if you wear your weekday clothes when you're feeding. When Isaiah is given. So anybody who tells me that the oxen going here, there, and the other place has got nothing at all to do with anything, this just shows you how the Geonim of yesteryear, a man who died in this century, the Yosef Rosen, a man who died in this century, a lady came to her with a problem. It's cheaper than the NHS, came to her with a problem and says, what am I going to do? And the Lover Shavah said, don't understand, the Meshach Chochmah didn't know that you didn't tell me. There's no need for a prescription. It's a Musa, Haska. What I'd like to draw your attention to now is a very beautiful observation which is made by Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky on Perek Chof Gimel, Pasuk Tezayin. We talk about the various Yomim Tovim. That's a parsha which finds its way into Mishpatim. Now is not the time to explain that particular Indian of Kutar Shalikra, but we'll leave that for another time. Now what do we got? We've got Chag HaMatzos, which is Chodesh HaAviv. We've got Chag HaKotir, which is the time of Bikurei Maasecha. You've got a Chag HaOsif B'Tzeis HaSholem B'Yos B'Chos Maasecha Min HaTzodeh. So the three festivals, the Shalosh Regalim, are related to harvesting themes. Is that all they are? Why would the Torah want to refer to Shalosh Regalim as nothing more, quote unquote, than festivals which occur at the time of harvesting either of the grapes or of the wheat? Is that all the Yomim Tovim are? There is no spiritual dimension to these days? That's the kasha of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. Let's have a look. The Emes L'Yaakov. Hinei b'lashon haTorah, in the language of the Torah, Matsino kam upon him, we find very often, shenikroim ha-shalosh regalim, that the shalosh regalim are referred to, al-shem matzavei ha-tavua matzodeh. They are named after the various stages of the harvest in the field. V'hainu, and that seems to suggest, ki'ilu inyan ha-chag, that the entire theme of the festival, who, lach-gog, to celebrate, that the harvest has been brought in and has grown as we want it to. That's all they are. A celebration of harvest at a harvest festival. It seems to be an extraordinary thing. The Moadim is only to take cognizance of how the harvest has been this year, how the grain has grown,
how the vines have produced their grapes. That's what the Torah should concern itself about. That's a dominant theme of a festival. Yes, Rabbi Yashar. The Nira Levayir Ode Yopan Acher. I left out the first answer. I would like to suggest the following approach. Shows you how the originality of this man. We find on many occasions in Torah on the Vim and Ksubi, Shahakodish Baruchu Marel Yisrael, that God indicates to Israel, Imhu Sevar Otson Mehem, if he's happy with them spiritually, are they doing what he wants? We find in Tanakh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicates his pleasure or displeasure by the quantity and quality of the harvest. How do I know? Well, second paragraph of the Shema. If you listen to my commandments, what will happen? If you do what I want you to do, your harvest is going to be successful. Or if we find the Barshan of the Chukosai, in the Chukosai Teilechu, if you walk in my statutes, the land will produce. Haray, so what do we see from these comments and similar ones which I have not mentioned? Shebizman say Yisroel alad Mosom, that when Israel was on their own land, Hoyo HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Almighty was Mizalazom exhorting them, whom as Hiram and warning them, Lishmo Mitzvos HaTorah, to keep the commandments of the Torah. How did he do that? What was his weapon? Al Yedei Tzemichas HaTevuyos. By the way, the harvest flourished. Or did not. Velochein, therefore, Kishetevuoso Godlo V'Hitzlicho, if the people saw that their harvest was a successful one this year, Oznika, then they were entitled to conclude She'ochein who made the Madrego Ruchanis Gedola, that they are on a high level of religious observance and commitment. The im also nichshala, and if their harvest would be a deficient one, ozehochiach, then it would indicate without doubt she'chas v'sholom who lo shomar mitzvot haTorah kuhugon, that this particular person whose harvest has been inadequate knows from that moment that this is the Kodesh Baruch Hu's way of telling him, you have not been keeping to the straight and narrow. And I would like to suggest, on the basis of what I've just said, that this is a new interpretation I want to offer in the Gemara in Shabbos. In the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, there is a posuk there, which the rabbis take to allude to the six sections of the Mishnah. Okay? And the rabbis say, what is emunas itecho? Well, itecho is moed. And emunas is zeh seder zeroim. The word emunas, which is a word of faith, that refers to the volume of Mishnayos known as zeroim, which governs how you plant, how you sow, how you reap, and your various duties thereafter. Now, the Tosfos asks, what has Emunah got to do with Zeroim? So the Tosva says in the name of the Yerushalmi, Shemamin bechaye ho'olamim v'zoreya, that it's only because he has faith in God that he sows seeds. Happy Kushim, don't go into business. Atheists don't plant. All the farmers are people of great Emunah. What's Emunah? Emunah Zeroim, because only people of faith plant. There are many people who have no faith. They have a decaying Zorim and they still plant. So don't say Emunas. Do say the Zorim. It's because only people of faith plant. No. I like to say like this. The explanation is as I have just mentioned to you above. Rather, Sha'al Yedei Hazariah. That through planting and what we reap, Emunaso shel ha'adam nikeres umischazekes. The quality of a person's faith can be immediately discerned. If he's a person of great faith, the harvest is substantial. If he's a person of little faith, the harvest is minimal. Therefore, emunas is zeroim, comes to tell you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the litmus test of the quality of the individual's emunah by what happens to his zeroim. by how successful or disastrous his harvest will be. Because at the time when we live the inherited soil, we could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkocha reveal to us Al-Yudei Hazariah V'Haketziro through the quality of our sowing and our reaping. The Zehu Inyan Hamoadim. And that, to my mind, is what the Torah is telling us when it reminds us that the Yomim Tovim are occasions of harvest, because since they are times of harvest, they provide us with a most immediate form of spiritual reception. Because since the harvest arrives at Sukkot, and we see the harvest is dismal, then Sukkot becomes for that individual an opportunity of spiritual stock-taking. And if a person comes to Sukkot and realizes that the harvest has been bountiful, then he has an opportunity to rejoice in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Sameach Bechelko, rejoices in the portion that the individual has offered. Because in during those times of harvest and ingathering, each person can see Mahu Madrego, so what is his standard? The Shemira Tatora Vahamitzos in the keeping of the Torah and its commandments, the Ayyadeze, and through this, Vahuli His Alos Luchanis Umaru Memes, they come to an elevation of their standards, realizing through the harvest on those occasions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still not totally satisfied, that as they say on the school report, there is room for improvement. Or could do better. This is the theme that Rabbi Yaakov echoes here. I think it is a most poetic one. The harvest, therefore, is not a contradiction to a spiritual theme, because the harvest itself is the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu indicates whether he is satisfied, ecstatic, disappointed, or downright upset with the way it is that things are going with the individual. What I'd like to mention now is a particular theme which I have not put out on the sheets. We leave the Ktav HaKabbalah. We have to leave over something for the future, Mr. Shem. So we leave the Ktav HaKabbalah, which is a rather a lengthy item. Let me draw your attention to a very, very important essay written some years ago by one of the greatest rabbis who ever graced our shores, Dan Yecheskel Abramsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. It's an essay which I first saw in Moriah many years ago, 76, I believe. And he quotes a famous chazal. Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai. The Gemara in Shabbos, Heiches Amud Beis. In the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Follow carefully, please. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Har Sinai, goes up to heaven. And the Malchei HaShoreis, the angels ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's he doing here? Ma'ali Yelud Isho Beinenu, what is mortal man doing in our exalted ranks? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu replies, Lekabel Torah Bo, he has come to receive the Torah. And the Malachim say, Chamudo Genuzo, this is such a precious treasure which you have had in your possession in heaven for thousands of generations. You're going to give it to Basov Adam, to mortal man. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu,
no.
You want the Torah, you give them an answer. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm afraid if I antagonize them, they'll burn me. They'll consume me with fire. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you take hold of my heavenly throne, Achoz, Bikisek of Odi, and they won't be able to harm you. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, do you have parents? He says, no. So how can you keep Kabbalah Zavich of Yasinach? Do you work 6 days? This isn't a work at all. So how can you have Zohar Shem HaShem HaKadoshu? Shesh HaShem HaTavu Yosizu Kum Lachtecha. Go through the mitzvahs. Says Diana Bramsky, what's going on? Don't the angels know that they don't keep? Apart from which, the whole problem seems to be strange. If I have Torah and you want Torah, you can both have Torah. You can learn, I can learn, we all can learn. So by my transmitting the Torah to you, I don't lose out. No problem. So what are the angels complaining about? Says Diane Abramsky as well. Once Torah is given to mortal man, A new regime is introduced. No Bashamayim peace. Decisions can no longer be made in heaven concerning Torah matters. Man will now become the sole arbiter of Torah matters. For better or worse, afilu ayamin shehu simol, or al simol shehu yamin. The Malachim do not want to relinquish their dominance in Torah decision making. That's what they don't want to give up. That is why they say, you want to give the Torah to man, which means as soon as it leaves heaven, they will become the arbiters? No, sir. We are the holy ones. And if it comes to making decisions on holy Torah matters, there are no more accomplished, no more able people than us, the angels. So Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, you want the Torah. And it's not that you want the Torah. You want the Torah to be given to you with the consequence that it is from that moment on going to be entrusted to Jews, to mortal man, to make the decisions which are going to affect even heaven. Because as we know, when Jews made decisions in the Beis HaMedrash, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that's not the halacha, but they made the decision, is Nitzchuni Bonai Nitzchuni, my children have overpowered me, because says HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Gemara Bava Metzia, I am bound by their decision. You want that to happen, he says to Moshe Rabbeinu. You've got to give them a reply. They're telling you that they're exalted, saintly souls. That no one is more holy, no one is more capable, no one is more entitled to be ultimately responsible for the decisions in Jewish law than the angels. You want it, you give them a reply. So what does he say? Hey, you got no parents. You got no Shabbos. What is he saying to them? Zion Abramsky, I said Nisko. You think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the secrets of his Torah to those people who are intellectually brilliant? The secrets of Torah are revealed only and solely to those people who are Shomrei Torah Umis. You ask me, was it Moshe Feinstein the greatest intellect of our day? I won't argue. I'll say maybe not. But was he entitled to be a decisor in Jewish law? The answer is yes. Because he was a Shema Torah mitzvah. Would Albert Einstein have been acceptable? Would the most sophisticated computer have been acceptable? The answer is no. Is a Maloch acceptable? No. Because he doesn't keep mitzvahs. That is what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying. People want to know who are entitled to make decisions nowadays or in earlier centuries in Jewish law. By what right? I can't tell you how it is that these personalities emerged. The Ritval, the Rambam, Rashi, the Gaon, the Chaim, the Moshe. I can't tell you how they emerged. But I can tell you one thing. If they would have been Mechallelei Shabbos, not even the Farhesia, every one of their responses would have been thrown into the dustbin. Because where there is no Naaseh, says Zion Abramsky, where there is no preceding commitment to action, there's no Nishma. We have got no commitment whatsoever to listen to what they say. No Naaseh. If there is no unbounded commitment to the keeping of Torah mitzvot, that person can never be a posek. He can be the most incredible intellect. He can quote you from four corners of the world. But do his comments have any halakhic consequence? Not one word. And this is something which is so important for us to remember. Intellect on its own, a knowledge of Avichelki Shulchan Aruch and Shas Bavli Yerushalmi, of course we want it. Because otherwise there is always a possibility that the decision which is rendered might have ignored a source. But to whom will HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the siyata d'shmaya that when he makes the decision, every single relevant Gemara is going to be in his mind, and if it wasn't in his mind at the time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him Siyat and Ishmael, so that there isn't a single contradiction to his decision from any place in the entire rabbinic literature. To whom does HaKadosh Baruch Hu give that Siyat and Ishmael? Lemi Megale Seidus HaTayna. To the cemetery. That's who it is. So whereas I can't tell you why these great individuals have emerged, that's a Gemara in Megillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never left us bereft of the great men who rise up in every generation, but the shlotzim who keep nothing and start telling us that they are going to decide what halacha is, just as a shek of a chazan. Because where there's no nasa, there's no nishma. Where there's no commitment to authentic Jewish observance and Jewish faith, any decisions that they made, even though they quote the sources, and they even do it in English for the proletariat, it means absolutely nothing. And this, to my mind, is a thought that I wanted to mention this evening, because it's something we always have to keep in mind. Knowledge on its own has never been a criterion in accepting who is it who is making the decision on Torah law. It has to be Torah, accompanied by Yirat Shomayim, accompanied by Shmiras Torah. Says Moshe Rabbeinu to the Malachim, no, there is nothing more spiritual in the world than Malachim. But you've got one problem when it comes to making halachic decisions. You don't keep Shabbat. You're not careful what you eat and what you don't eat. You've got no problems with all the other items of Torah. And since you are deficient in the area of observance, you are, by the correlation, similarly deficient in any halachic decision. And that seems to be an appropriate place to end our deliberation.